So today's Bible verse I'll be reading is going to be Proverbs 3, 1 through 6. My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on a tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight.
The sound just before the scripture came up a while ago, I think it comes from my computer, but my computer's not here, so I'm not sure how that happened. But when I was in Tulsa a couple weeks ago, there was a news story. Every night before we go to bed, our dog, one goes up, but the dog stays down and waits for the last person to go up. And she may stand there and stare at you like, okay, it's time to go. But our TV makes a similar noise to that three beeps. When you turn up the TV, it does that little boop-de-boop and goes off. And when she hears that and sees movement, she don't go exactly at that sound, but when she sees movements, then she heads upstairs as well. But when I heard that a while ago, I was like, I'm not sure how that's happening here. But I'm never surprised at much of anything. It's been a long week. As I read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I feel like most of all of those things that can happen in life have happened this week in one way or another to one of us or several of us. And I'm glad to be, I believe, kidney stone free this morning. And Karen, not so much. She still has a chunk of her boulder left. So that was glad to get that out of the way. But also this week, we lost David Ludoff, who was Matt Zelnick's brother-in-law and John DeNormis' son-in-law, who they loved greatly. And he passed away after battling a lung disease for some time. And we're blessed today to have Lila with us, one of his nurses who was in the ICU. It's good to have you with us this morning. Thank you for taking care of them so well in the hospital and even coming yesterday to be with them. Thank you. But as we start our lesson today, our topic is faithfulness. And one of the things that I thought about as I was trying to work this all together was in elementary school. And every morning, when I grew up in elementary school and middle school, and I don't remember it at all in high school, but it may have happened. But every morning we would stand and we would do the Pledge of Allegiance. We're not going to do that this morning, but as the next slide to remind us, of what that is, in case you don't remember, is I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I remember saying that every day. And I remember looking at that flag. Middle school, a couple times a week, they'd also play the national anthem. And it would kind of align you to remind you of your great country in which you live and you're a part of. And it would help you, I believe, help present that love that you have for your country and help develop it from that point on. It wasn't till October of 2001 that we were at a retreat after 9/11, and we were at our church camp for this retreat, and that flag was raised, and it was the first time that I had said the pledge after that day. It meant something totally different that day. It meant something totally different that day than all the other times I had said it before. But I believe it meant something different because I had built my heart to that all those days growing up. I loved my country. I still love my country. I love what we are able to do here. I love the abilities we have and the freedoms we have to worship, the freedoms we have to serve and do the things we can do. But I remember on that day choking on every word because it meant something different. It was a day that was totally different. And I knew that those freedoms that we always took advantage of and loved were now threatened. And from that day forward, our country has evolved in such a way that those things are constantly being threatened. The things that we believe and we strive for and the Bible tells us to be true are constantly contradicted by our society and by our world. And though some people will stand before you and say we shouldn't pledge our allegiance to a flag which represents this country, I tell you that God has blessed our country and blessed our existence in such a way that we need to honor it. And we live here. This is where we live. This is who we are. And so we pledge that allegiance to serve. Many have served in the services. Many have served in many other ways. But we all have that place in our heart for our country and for which we live. And it's been developed over our years from very young. But as we transition from that to our faith, we realize that our faith is also something that we are called to be and called to do, and that transitions in our lives to make us a different person. And it comes of age as we grow and as we move on. The verse that was read for us this morning that Rob read says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart." The verses here are reminding us that God's word brings us life. God's word and ways help us to prosper upon this earth. Not always financially, not always in lots of the ways that we think of prosperity, but inside, with friends, family, service, experiences that change our lives forever and make us who we are today. So as it says there, write them on your heart, bind them around your neck, know them. Know those things, because those are the things that will change you. And I believe that's also what happened in elementary school as well. Verse 4 says, "Then you will win favor of a good name and in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." One of the things I told some of you today, and I told Diane for sure yesterday, after the kidney stone and then the death and then being with them and serving them, I truly felt like I was spent. I was done. But one of the things that stood out, and I told Diane, I felt like what I said yesterday could have been the same lesson I used today. It's not. Because Dave had such an experience, Dave Ludoff had such a life experience and had a witness, a testimony that people looked to and were drawn to. Yesterday and Friday at the funeral home, several members of the medical community from either Grady or from Grant, where he had been several weeks in ICU, came to be with that family yesterday, to be with the Zelniks, because not only were they there to work, but they were touched by Dave and Ruth Ann's faith and their testimony. One of the pieces of, as I sat with them on Thursday and we talked, there was a sign in the kitchen across the room from where I was sitting. And it was chalk, so it was a changeable sign. But the sign said, "Let your test be your testimony. Let your test be your testimony." And I believe that Ruth Ann had to see that every day. She had to look at that every day to remind herself that this was the path that she was on, that God was blessing and looking after and walking side by side with her and her husband through this. And I felt that it was on their heart, because that's how they grew up. That's how they both were nurtured, so that they would love God and love man. And for Dave, that showed right up to his passing. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So as we look at very briefly a couple, three stories, as we look at three different people from Scripture, all stories that we know well, but I want to just briefly hit them. The first one is that of Joseph. Joseph was a faithful servant, a faithful son. He went from pit to pinnacle. He went from the pit of the cistern, of the well where his brothers put him and left him and then sold him off. And then he went to prison, then he was lifted up, he went to prison, he was lifted up, and he was constantly focused and faced toward God. He was faithful. He was faithful to his father, he was faithful to his family, and even in the end, he brought his family back together. He rejoined his father and his family, and because of his faithfulness to God, he enjoyed 70 years of prosperity and blessing. That's a very brief recap of the story of Joseph. But when you think through it in your mind of all that Joseph went through, it was incredible. Incredible, his focus. Incredible, his ability to not lash out at his family, lash out at Potiphar's wife, lash out at all the different things. Instead, he kept focused. He kept his focus on God and kept that going. The other one is Ruth. As you know, the story of Ruth, married and allegiant to her family, then losing the men in the family, and the mother-in-law saying, I can't support us. I'm going back to my family. You all need to go back to your family. But that was not Ruth's heart. Ruth was dedicated. Ruth was focused. She wanted to be focused with her mother-in-law. And she says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, it says, But Ruth replied, Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, even if death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. I accidentally read into that the other day. She stopped bugging her. Ruth stopped. She was determined. And Naomi realized that they were one. They were together. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your God will be my God. What a great testimony, what a beautiful picture of what Ruth was trying to show, her faithfulness, not only to her God, but to her family. And the other example, very briefly put before us this morning, is if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We read this morning in class about Mary. And I titled this, I was trying to figure out how to title this for Mary, but she was a frightened faithful. Kind of hard to say quickly together. She was a frightened faithful. Can you imagine that whole scene of the angel coming to her and speaking to her, telling her that she was with child, but she was married, and she, you know, she was a virgin, had all these things going on. In Luke chapter 2, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 1 is where I'm at. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 38. Let me read through that with you. It says, But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child, and you will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. "How will this be," Mary asked, "since I am a virgin?" And as I read that, I can't imagine that the horror and the terror in her eye. I read it kind of nonchalantly, but just the tone of her voice when she said, How can this be? This can't be right. I mean, that would be my tone, maybe. The angel said, continuing verse 35, the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary's reply was, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And the angel left her. What an incredible moment. Mary's whole life seemed to be set and ready to go. And here's the angel. Here's the angel. "Greetings." I have a friend who always answered the phone, "Greetings." I say that from time to time. It's a little haunting. But he would say, "Greetings." And I always would flash back to this verse, because when somebody says "greetings," they may have some interesting news for you ahead. Keep that in mind. But Mary was faithful. The verse says, the angel says, God had found favor in her. Her eyes must have been focused and tuned toward God, toward him, and ready for him, because he found favor upon her. Though her plan was laid out to be married to Joseph and to move on, God threw this peace at her because she was faithful. And Mary continued to be faithful in her service to God. She carried that child. And one of my favorite, and you've heard this from me before, one of my favorite pieces of the story about Mary is that Mary pondered these things in her heart. Why, and this is my thought, why me? What have I done? How am I so blessed? Why did God pick me? Why? Mary's pondering and wondering in her heart. What a beautiful story of faithfulness. And of course, we have the story of Jesus. From Luke chapter 2, verse 52, the verse says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man." Jesus grew as he grew. And he grew in wisdom and stature, brains and body. And he grew in favor with God and man. He continued to please his father. He worked to serve the people around him in such a way that he was winning their favor, their notice as well. And in this verse, it comes to us the same thing. Our maturity and our faith needs to continue in such a way that we grow in favor with God and man. As we achieve adults, we've pretty much grown our stature. Some of us are still growing in different ways. But our wisdom continues to grow as well. Our wisdom, we can become wiser and smarter as life comes our way. But the part about growing in favor with God and man rests truly upon us. It's our actions and our abilities, our thoughts, our words that make a difference in the world around us. And those actions, thoughts, and words make a difference to God. Because God, if we have planted these things in our hearts and on our minds, we are truly letting God's word and ways put them out to the world around us. Through our actions, through our love, through our service, through our pains, through our joys. All of those ways we are able to express and put out our faith to people and to God. I want to bring before you this morning, this past week was the anniversary of the Columbine shootings, attacks, massacre. that happened in 1999. And I wanted to bring before you, and I've not done this, I've shared pieces of this. As you know, I went out after, about 10 days after, I went out for 10 days to work out there and to help and to counsel and to try to do something to reach out there. And since then, lots of stories and books have been written. And one of the people I'd like to look at today from that whole story is Rachel Scott. Rachel Scott was a young girl at the high school. It says, Rachel took a definite stand in her high school years for her Savior, realizing she had to put the Lord first even before her friends. She faithfully witnessed, and though she was a popular kid, her witness was not always well received. She still witnessed away. She felt that by kindness and love, she could create a chain reaction to make the world a better place. She dreamed of one day going to foreign lands to be a missionary. And as you know, no missionary can just turn it on and off. You have to have that burning love of Christ within you that compels you to reach the world. And Rachel did. In her short life, Rachel did far more than many do in a lifetime. Regardless of the length of her life, I can't even say that. Little as much if God is in it. Two of the kids she witnessed to were Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. They were probably the lowest of the low in the school, and no one wanted to fool with them, but Rachel did. 3 weeks before her death, she tried to talk with them and encourage them to stop a lot of the hateful, weird things that they were doing, and she tried to bring them to the Lord, and they hated her for it. Time is short. Over the next 3 weeks, she knew that time was short. She felt it in her heart. Her diary, which describes in detail that she didn't understand what was going to happen, but that something was up and that she wouldn't be around for long. She told her friends and wrote in the diary that some kind of sacrifice was going to have to be made and that she was ready to make it. And on the day of her death, she wrote in her diary, Lord, this is the end. I've gotten what I can. And when Eric and Dylan entered the school and started shooting people, she was one of the first in harm's way. Before they got to her, they grabbed a kid who was witnessing to two other students, and they shot him, and then they shot Rachel twice, once in the leg and then once in the back. And realizing that she was still alive, he walked over to her and lifted her up by her hair and ask her if she still believed in God. And her response was unwavering, "You know I do." And upon which he delivered the final shots that took her life. On her dresser drawer that her parents found was this inscription, which you may not be able to look back, please. You may not be able to read it. It says, "But these hands belong to Rachel Joy Scott and will someday touch millions of people's hearts." As the story goes on, her final drawing inspired a book written by her parents called Rachel's Tears. And that drawing was a picture of her eyes shedding 13 tears that touch a rose and turn into blood drops. The rose is growing out of a columbine plant that's connected to a verse from the Bible that says, "Greater love has no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends." Within 2 hours of Rachel drawing this picture, 13 people had been killed at Columbine, a teacher and 12 students. As you remember that, and you think of this witness that this young girl had, it's incredible. It truly is incredible. Her desire to be different in her school, to make her school different, is incredible. Her faith in her God allowing her to witness to two of the, and I quote, creepiest people that she knew needed Jesus, and she did it anyway, is incredible. Many times we find ourselves uncomfortable and our words close up inside us and we don't share about God's love, God's glory, because things are too hard or too difficult. She didn't seem to have that issue. She was able to freely speak. So my question today, as we think about our faithfulness, as we pledge our allegiance to God, my question today is, why is it important to be loyal and committed to God and others? What is it about faithfulness that drives us to be who we are for Christ in this wicked and crazy world? When you think about pledging our allegiance to God, we think about stepping out in faith. We think about standing for Him. We think about no matter who follows or falls away. That's a hard one, isn't it? No matter who follows or who falls away. Because in all of our lives, we have seen people who have fallen away from the cause of Christ. And if I'm connected to that person, there's a chance that I might take that fall as well. Or will I stand because of my faith? The other line says, don't wait, but lead. Don't wait for somebody to lead. If you see something that needs to be done, we must lead and lead the way. We faithfully act in faith toward God and leave the results to Him. That's a lesson I've learned later in years. And again, I praise and thank Duke and Molly for helping me to realize that we need to do what God wants us to do and leave the results to Him. It's not about numbers. It's not about hugeness of an event. It's about faithfully serving your God and making those things happen. And about pledging our allegiance to others, people who know us, they should look to us and know that we are loyal, that we are trustworthy, that we are consistent, that we can be counted on, that we are available, that we listen intently, and that we answer the call for help. I heard this morning that there were bets being taken Wednesday night about whether I was at the hospital with the Zeltics or I was home recovering from my kidney stone. I was home, and I did ask Ryan to drive me down there, only to face a stern look of, no, I'm not. But as we think about our faith and we think about people like that, we need to pledge our allegiance to others that if somebody calls, they know we're going to answer, that we're going to do the best of our ability to do what we can do to be there and answer that call. So our faith drives us toward God and it drives us toward others in that way. Our allegiance is not about meeting checklists or requirements, but it's that desire of responding out of love and devotion for what Christ has done for us. Everything that we do, reaching out to others and making a difference, should come out of that love that we have received of God reaching out to us. That incredible picture of Christ on the cross. That incredible picture of the world changing forever because of a life well lived. A moment planned from the beginning of the world to change our world forever. And our faith and our ability to step up and to be a part of that is what pulls us to Him. So our faithfulness needs to be a priority or a mission, no matter who is watching. Again, no matter who is watching in our politically correct world, whether we are alone or in a crowd, whether good times or bad, whether confident or in doubt, we need to be faithful to our God and be faithful to our walk. Be faithful to our mission of being like Christ. And then to conclude, I have four verses I want to just throw before you. We're not on this alone. We have God who stands beside us and walks beside us. From Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust him. From Psalm chapter 16, verse 8. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Yesterday, somewhat impromptu, but I did have it in my notes, but I didn't know that I would be able to do it. Because of the family's faith and because of circumstance of what had been happening, this verse particularly came to mind. And I read before them, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus," the chorus. And we sang it through twice. And as the crowd, large crowd, was broken in heart, they realized that by turning their eyes upon Jesus, the things of this world can grow strangely dim. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens in the world if when you're walking by God and your eyes are on him. From Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then from Lamentations chapter 3. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The song says, therefore, I will hope in him. I will wait for him, for he is my portion. So as we wrap this up today, as we think about our pledge of allegiance to our country, to our flag, to our world, and the pledge that we make to our Savior, it is something that continues to grow. It's something that continues to make manifest in our hearts and our lives so that our world is not the same because you walk through it. Because you work in an office where you can shine for Christ. You are a teacher in a school where you can shine for Christ. You work in an office where you're able to share and serve and connect with people and show love. You're able to work in a hospital where people are, if you're in a hospital, it's usually not a good thing. But maybe you work in a hospital where you're able to share life and love, embrace what the Lord has done. So many places, so many opportunities to show our faith and to show our allegiance to our Lord. And I hope that's something that you can do wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. I hope that it's something that you try and strive to build each day so that that witness is seen. So that people know that you are a child of God and that you have a focus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Joseph, Mary, Jesus, Ruth, Rachel Scott. Five great pictures of faithfulness to God. Can your name be listed there as well? I pray and hope so. If you have a need to respond to the call of Christ today, make that known while we stand and sing.